Angel Kyodo Williams is a queer Black Buddhist teacher and activist, and her writings, more than anyone else's, have helped me to make sense of this dark time that we're in. Of her, public radio host Krista Tippett had this to say: Angel Kyodo Williams is one of our wisest voices on social evolution and the spiritual aspect of social healing. She's an esteemed Zen priest and the second Black woman recognized as a teacher in the Japanese Zen lineage. For those of us who are not monastic, she says, the world is our field of practice. To sink into conversation with her is to imagine and nourish the transformative potential of this movement toward human wholeness. And during that interview, this is what Reverend Williams had to say: for us to transform as a society, we have to allow ourselves to be transformed as individuals. And for us to be transformed as individuals, we have to allow for the incompleteness of any of our truths and a real forgiveness for the complexity of human beings and what we're trapped inside of, so that we're both able to respond to the oppression, the aggression that we're confronted with, but we're able to do that with a deep and abiding sense that there are people, human beings, that are at the other end of the baton, that stick, that policy, that are also trapped in something. They're also trapped in a suffering. And for sure, we can witness that there are ways in which they're benefiting from it. But there are also ways, if one trusts the human heart, that they must be suffering. And holding that at the core of who you are when responding to things, I think, is the way, the only way we really have forward, to not just replicate systems of oppression for the sake of our own cause. Like most of you, I was shocked and stunned after the 2016 election. Actually, I was enraged. I was furious. I was beside myself. I found myself wishing horrible harm, death, destruction to certain individuals. I couldn't believe that people that I loved and respected had actually voted for Donald Trump. My world changed. I felt like I had no place to stand. I didn't know where to look. Maybe some of you had similar experiences. Fortunately, I've had more than 40 years of Buddhist practice, and I found myself clinging to that and looking within that tradition, that practice, those teachings for a way forward. And I think possibly some of you have also found a place to stand, found solace and perspective in your own practices of meditation and prayer. You know, I needed to get out of that hatred and despair because I didn't want to be like them. I felt like if I stayed in that place that they would win. If I despair, then the forces of hatred, greed, and authoritarianism will have won. If I myself succumb to hatred and ill will, then the forces of hatred, greed, and authoritarianism will have won. And I'm determined that they won't win in my own soul. If I dehumanize and demonize those who disagree with me, then I become like them. I don't want to become like the people I oppose, which means that somehow I have to take them into my heart. You know, that takes some work. All of us are vulnerable to anger and to the fear that underlies that anger. We all want to feel safe, and as is becoming all too plain, this fear keeps us from acting from our best selves. The Buddha taught that at all costs, we need to refrain from being taken over by ill will and the wish for the harm for others, because it corrodes us, it destroys us from deep within. Because that hatred, that anger, that ill will doesn't just stop when it's directed at the people we don't like. It changes us, everything we do, everything we think. It corrodes our being and our peace of mind. There's an ancient Buddhist meditation called metta, or loving kindness meditation. Is anybody here familiar with that? Basically, you send friendly wishes to classes of people, to groups of people. And the traditional wishes are, may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be well, may you live with ease. So you start with yourself, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be well, may I live with ease. And then as that feeling of friendliness and kindness gathers in your heart center, you send that to people in your life who have given you unconditional love. And then you move on to a group of people that you love, your friends, your family. And then it gets a little harder. You move on to people that you see but don't know, kind of have neutral feelings for, people maybe like who are at the coffee shop you frequent or the gym you go to that you see from time to time but don't really know, don't like or dislike, the neutral person. And then finally, there's a class of people called the enemy. Send them loving kindness, is the teaching. You know, people who oppose you, people you dislike. So for some reason, I decided to put two individuals in that category, Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell. May you be safe, Donald Trump. May you be happy, Mitch McConnell. May you be well. May you live with ease. I wasn't feeling it, folks. I did this over and over, and I wasn't feeling it. And then a Buddhist teacher at a talk that I attended rephrased this. He said to people in that category, he said, may you mend your way so that you can find a true way to happiness. And then I felt it. May you mend your ways so that you can find a true way to happiness. Because a teaching then became alive to me that everybody's looking for safety. Everybody. Everybody's looking for ways to be happy. And all of us to some degree, and some people to a great degree, are very confused in their search for safety, in their search for happiness, and act and think in ways that bring them harm and bring harm to others. They look for happiness in some really messed up places. Fear, greed, and denial lead them to make very unskillful choices that cause a great deal of harm. So, could I have any compassion for those who are putting our democracy at risk, who are harming innocent individuals out of pure cruelty and lust for power? And then I was thinking about Donald Trump. who's so insecure that he needs constant affirmation and attention, who's so insecure that even the slightest criticism will cause him to make an enemy, to humiliate, and to take down people. That's suffering, folks. He's suffering deeply. If he's tweeting at 3 o'clock in the morning, it means he can't sleep. He can't laugh and can't smile unless it's to sneer at someone. This is suffering. He's not outside the human family. He's not outside the human experience. So I can have compassion for him, even though, and I want you to hear this, I will do everything in my power to stop him and the dark forces that he's unleashed. If that seems too hard right now, at least you can pay attention to any thoughts of ill will toward anyone that might arise, and you can work to transform that energy. See if there's compassion that you can find. See if there's action you can take to make a difference. See if you can notice how much it hurts to put anyone out of your heart. It hurts to hate. If we pay attention, it hurts a lot to hate. Another tip for spiritual survival in the year to come is you may want to manage your news intake. Especially if you notice it's starting to make you crazy. I mean, if it's making you really crazy and really angry and really upset, take a break. You can catch up on all the outrages a week later. Take a break and get in touch with those things that nurture your life. Put your attention there. Spend some time with good friends and people in your life who love and affirm you and care about the world the way you do. You know, I've gotten so where I only do print because I don't want to see certain faces on TV because that brings up that whole ill will thing. You know, and as far as Facebook goes, I got to be careful because people send me messages on Facebook. I can go for a week at a time without looking at it. I really don't want to. I'm seeing less and less that's helpful that way. And I do want to keep up with my friends that way. But here's what I've been doing. If somebody posts some things that dehumanizes or demonizes other human beings, even if they agree with me politically, they will be unfollowed. I don't need that coming into my consciousness. I want to protect my consciousness that way and whatever peace of mind I can find and whatever compassion I can cultivate. You know, I don't know why we believe all these pundits and columnists when they've been wrong so often. How about spending just as much time as you spend listening to the news by hanging out with sources of information and opinion that give you hope and inspiration? Those kinds of podcasts, those kinds of columns, they're there. And also, why not hang out with other human beings that still have hope and still have energy and still make you feel positive, cared about, and believing in human beings again? The Serenity Prayer is something I'm going to be counting on in the year to come. And if there's one prayer that you can carry with you in 2020, maybe it could be that one. Because think about it. There are so many things in this life that we can't control. We can't control the future. We can't control what other people do, say, or think. We can't even control our own thoughts all the time. And to worry about those things that we can't control is such a waste of energy that pulls us down. And we can fall prey to helplessness and despair. And who wins if that happens? Who wins? Those forces that we oppose will have won. There's a circle of the things we're concerned about. A lot of things. The climate. Our future. All the injustice and oppression. And then there's a much smaller circle, a circle of things we can influence. If we spend all our time worrying about the things we can't control, we don't have energy to concentrate on the things we can influence. The day after the inauguration was a day that gave me hope. Tens of millions of people, mostly women, marched in almost every city in this country and around the world and said no to the forces of hate and oppression and bigotry and xenophobia and intolerance, and said yes to a shining vision of participatory democracy that empowered ordinary people. And since then, there's been a great outpouring of organizations from the grassroots, often ignoring, often going against the political establishment, that's had huge ways of empowering people and making a difference. Groups like Indivisible, groups like Think Blue, you can name others. So if we get in touch with that energy, that's something we can influence. Because we can't do this by ourselves. We can't do this watching MSNBC 12 hours a day and worrying. We have to hold hands with others, strategize with others, be with others. When we feel down, others can be hopeful, and that can be this community too. We get by with a little help from our friends. The energy of Trumpism were always there. They were always there. You know, I know some people of color, I know some immigrants. They said, oh, you comfortable white folks are shocked. But we weren't surprised. Because we've had to live with this energy, these forces, and feel it directly. And you felt safe from them, and now you don't. So this has been there. Trump and his enablers, however, have given these energies focus and power. And now people think it's okay to say racist and hateful things. People think it's okay to attack minorities. People think it's okay to espouse white supremacy. You know, this is not going to go away. We as individuals, we don't have the power to control the future, but as the Unitarian Universalist songwriter and activist Carolyn McDade says, hope is something we make with our hands. Hope is something we make with our actions. And the people who are most hopeful, most resilient, are the longtime activists who have worked and stayed, lost and won, failed forward, kept going. That's where the hope is. Hope is something we make with our hands. And hope is something we make hand in hand. So another energy has been unleashed. That's where my hope is. Women, minorities, running for office, organizing at every level of government. The indifferent, the complacent have become passionate advocates for peace and justice, knowing what's at stake. And the results of that we saw in the elections last year in 2018. And you know what's brilliant? That energy is not getting less. That energy is growing as groups come together from the grassroots level, putting together a vision of hope, putting together a vision of belief in the human project and democracy and the better angels of our nature. Angel Kyoto Williams puts it this way: there's something dying in our society, in our culture, and there's something dying in us individually. And what is dying, I think, is the willingness to be in denial. And that is extraordinary. It's always been happening. And when it happens in enough of us, in a short enough period of time, at the same time, then you have a tipping point. And the culture begins to shift. And then what I feel like people are at now is, no, bring it on. I have to face it. We have to face it. All the things that we've denied, we now have to face. And when I listen to voices like this, I don't despair. It just makes me want to get busy. It makes me want to do more so that this transformation can happen. And may it be so. Amen.